I'd like to encourage you to once again open up your Bible to the gospel reading from the 7th chapter of Matthew this morning. We're in a series called The Love Languages of God. Today I'm going to speak to you, and my message is called What's on Your Gift List? Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Father in heaven, I thank you for an opportunity to share your words this morning. May we this morning have a better understanding of the love language of gifts that we receive from you. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. This series is based upon a very popular, well-read, not only in Christian realms, but also in non-Christian realms, called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. He says the first language is words of affirmation. Second is quality time. The third language is gifts. The fourth language is acts of service. The fifth language, appropriate touch. Now, you may have a primary or a secondary language that you love to give, but it's not necessarily the love language that you like to receive or speaks the most to you. There was a wife who woke up one morning and looked over at her husband and said, "You can't believe the dream I had last night." "What was it?" Said, "Well, I dreamed you gave me a silver necklace." She goes, "I wonder what it means." And he thinks about it deeply and says, "Well, your birthday is in 2 months. Maybe then you'll know." A month later, she wakes up and says, "I had another dream." "Well, what was it?" "I dreamed this time you gave me a golden necklace." "What do you think it means?" He thinks about it. "I don't know, but your birthday's in 1 month. Maybe then you'll know." 2 weeks later, she wakes up and says, "I had another dream." "Well, what was it?" "That you gave me a diamond necklace." "What do you think it means?" And he says, "Well, your birthday's in 2 weeks. Maybe then you'll know." 2 weeks later, her birthday comes around. Very expensive little box with very expensive wrapping paper was handed to her. She was so excited. She ripped it open and it was a book. And the title of the book read, The Meaning of Dreams. Now, it was obvious that the love language, or her love language, that she wanted to receive from her husband was gifts. Now, for the husband, most of us would probably say he's oblivious to anything. But maybe his love language, if you step back, was maybe words of affirmation. Maybe all he heard was, "What's the meaning?" And he wanted to affirm the meaning for her. The point of that is we speak different love languages. And we're in a series where we talk about God's love language to us. He speaks all five of those languages. His words of affirmation of how much he loves us are found in the Bible from cover to cover. He says to us, "I love you. I'd rather die than be without you forever. It is by grace through faith you are saved, not of works." Whew! Wow, great. "Lest any man should boast. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you, and I'll come back and take you to be with me. Oh, those words of affirmation. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They make us feel so good. That was the first week. The second week, I spoke to you about God's love language of quality time. We learned how he walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. How God came, Emmanuel, to be with us for 33 years. And that love language continues because he wants to be with us forever in heaven in eternity. Our God speaks the language that we need to hear when he gives us the Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come, the comforter, the counselor within. Today I want to speak to you about the love language of gifts. Gifts can be symbols of love. How many of you have ever been married? Raise your hand. Oh, a lot of you. When people come before the altar or the justice of the peace or on a ship and they get married, one of the first things they do is give a gift, a ring. Receive this ring as a pledge and token of wedded love and faithfulness. You know, when it comes to gifts, you can tell with people whether that's their love language or not. And if it's not, it's okay. Take children, for instance. Now, I'm not talking about Christmas here. I'm just talking, if you give a gift to a child, they might go, oh, okay, and set it down. They may not refer to it. They may be even abandon it and not even deal with it. And that might tell you something about their love language, because if you give a gift and they go, wow, and they tell other people about it, and they take care of it, and they put it in their room on a special place, and they look at it again and again, you may understand that they have the love language of a gift, and it means so much to them. It might help you understand what we might call somebody, oh, you're just a hoarder. No, maybe that object or that gift means so much to them. It's important that we understand the love languages that people speak and that we may speak or what somebody else might need. Well, the one love language that God really excels at is the love language of gifts. From the beginning of the Bible to the last verses of the Bible, God talks about his gifts to us. And we learn about God's gifts to us. Think about it. Adam and Eve in the garden. After creation. I give you everything, God says. Have dominion over everything. You know what the last verses of the Bible say? Jesus said, I am coming soon with my gifts and rewards. And everything in between is about what God gives us. For the very first married couple, the very first gift, the first wedding gift that God gave was the Sabbath. It's as if God said, for 24 hours, I want you to stop looking for that love language from each other. And I want you to focus on me and the five love languages that I speak to you. That's what Sunday morning is all about. God loving on us. God serving us. Divine service. God gave to Abraham a son. God gave to Moses for the benefit of the people to better their lives the 10 gifts of the commandments. God gave to King David a throne. God gave to Solomon, who asked for wisdom more than he asked for, because he asked with the right attitude and the right humble heart, and gave him honor and riches over and abundant with the wisdom. And then 2022 years ago, God fulfilled his promise of the ultimate gift, the gift that the entire Bible speaks about. God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, Jesus. It's all about that gift of Jesus. And it is Jesus today in our gospel reading who speaks to us and says, do you understand the love language of your heavenly Father? It's to give gifts. It's big for him. And the people of the time are going like, what? Let's look at it again. Notice how Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount says this. I'm going to scare some of you. Ask, would you please? Now you're going, wait a minute, that's a little dramatic. Well, in the Greek language, it's an imperative. It's a command. It's not an option. You see, why would Jesus have to do that? Because we're not real good at it. Think about it. Do you have to tell your children at Christmas time, ask for Christmas gifts? No, they're telling you what they want for Christmas, right? Listen to the last book of the Old Testament. Imperative. Command. Bring the tithe to the storehouse. 10% of your income. Test me in this, says the Father in heaven, and I will open up the floodgates and give you so much in return, you won't know what to do with it. You know what we do in our sinful nature? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the Father lying again. He doesn't mean it. That's not possible. That's asking too much. And the Father in heaven is looking at his children and going, oh gosh, please, do you not remember Solomon? And so Jesus speaks to the people because they're thinking that way. You see, in our sinful nature, we separate ourselves from God and we forget that he's given us everything. Your job, your money, your retirement, your house, your car, your boat is God's. And he says, let me give it to you. And I want to give you so much more. But return. So Jesus is saying, listen, would you quit looking at the Father this way? Now he had Gentiles listening to him, and a Gentile had many gods. And in Greek mythology, those gods took. They raped, they pillaged, they were arrogant and selfish and took everything from humans. And they worshiped them. Now for the Jew, God was really up there.
You didn't even say his name. They condemned Jesus. He called the Father Abba. Ha!
God is out there. You don't speak his name, and that's why there's a veil before the Holy of Holies. God is unapproachable. Even today, that seeps in to teachings. Now listen, you know, Jesus is pretty busy up there in heaven. So if you want to get a message to Jesus, talk to Mary. She's a lot closer. Talk to those saints. They'll get that message through. You see, if there's a million messages, Jesus can't listen to those. But if you give 500,000 to Mary and 500,000 to the saints, they'll bring those million prayers to Jesus. What? Listen to the words of Jesus. This is all we need to listen to this morning. Ready? Ask. Don't command. Don't tell. Just ask. And listen to these words of affirmation. Ask, and it'll be given to you. I want you to know I've asked for many things. And he's answered every time. I stand before you and before God Almighty. Never once have I asked of my God, and he hasn't answered. Sometimes the answer is no, and I know that because I don't get. Sometimes I got something bigger and better in store for you, he says. Like one time I asked for a wife, and he gave me Sabina. Something better than I could ever ask for. Sometimes his answer is yes, sometimes no. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it'll be opened. Now, how does that contrast to James saying, you ask and you do not receive? Because you ask with the wrong intentions. Our sinful nature is for me, 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 me. I want it. It's all about me, Lord. And Jesus is saying, that's wrong. Be humble. It's all about the Lord. Love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And love your neighbors. We need to ask unselfishly. This is the promise. And this is how he answers it. He says, okay, we all understand the love of a father for a child or a mother for a child. Or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? We all understand. Gosh, if somebody's hungry like a child and you give him a stone, it'll break his heart and his teeth. We understand how to give good gifts. And then he says, now please understand this. You have a Father in heaven who can't wait to give you good gifts. And that's the vision of your God he wants you to have. That's the vision of the Heavenly Father that you want. Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked three times for the cup to be removed. And the answer was no. I have something better. You're going to go through this and you're going to save the world. Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, sinful nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more than you could even ask for will your Father in heaven give good things to him who asks? You know, on the cross, Jesus shared those words of affirmation for us sinners. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He spent 6 of the most precious hours of his life, the last hours of his life, with all of us. We call that the Tenebrae service. And we reflect those hours on Good Friday. We zero in on that time. And then the only thing Jesus had on his body, even nothing. The only thing Jesus had on earth was his life. And he gave his body and his blood to each and every one of us as a sacrifice for our sin, so that we could receive that great gift of eternal life in heaven. And that's what motivates us to be here today. It motivates us to be different in this world. And it, even if it's not our love language, to give, to step out of our comfort zone and to give because we're motivated by our God. There was a little boy who went to Walgreens, and out front was this beautiful candy apple red Mach 1 Ford Mustang. He's a very poor boy, and he just walked around that car, examining every inch of it. And a young college boy comes out, the owner of the car, notices the young man. Boy, says, "You like that car?" And the little boy walked around it and says, "Mister, that's the most beautiful car I have ever seen in my life." He says, "Yeah." The little boy goes, "How much did it cost you?" And the young college boy says, "Not one red penny." The little boy goes, "What do you mean? Not one red penny?" He says, "My brother gave it to me free of charge. It's my car." The little boy looks at him and says, "Boy, I wish." The college boy interrupted, "I know what you're going to say. I know. You wish you had a brother like mine." And the little boy looked at him confused and said, "No." College boy realized he was wrong about this young man. And he said to him, "What do you mean?" He said, "I wish I could be like your brother." College kid felt kind of bad. He said, "Would you like a ride in this car?" "Oh, mister, would I love a ride in this car." He says, "Jump in, I'll give you a ride." And they drove around the block, and the young boy said, "Sir, would you do me a favor?" He said, "What? Would you drive me home?" He knew. He said, "Now I know what he wants. He wants to show off to all the people in the neighborhood, maybe to his mom and dad, that he drove in a beautiful, brand new Ford Mustang Mach 1. And he pulled up to the house and he said, "Mister, I just have one more favor. Would you just stay here? I want to show the car to my brother." "Oh, sure, don't mention it. Go get him." He runs into the house and he comes out carrying his brother, much younger brother who was crippled. He runs up to the window. He says, "Listen, Jimmy, this man owns this car. He didn't pay one red cent for it because his brother gave it to him free of charge." Holding his brother, he says, "Jimmy, someday I'm going to buy you a red sports car like this, and it won't cost you one red penny. And then you can drive around and see all the things that you've never seen. Thank you, mister." And he carried his brother into the house. You see, it is God, the Father, who's given to us everything free of charge. It doesn't cost us one red penny to be in this world, to have what we have. Salvation is the same way. It doesn't cost us one red penny. It doesn't mean it's cheap. It means somebody else paid for it. Our brother, Christ, gave his life so it wouldn't cost us one red penny to receive that new life, brand spanking new life in heaven, where we're going to see things and do things and experience things we've never experienced before. And it's free. That alone should motivate us to say, we've received that love language. It may not be my best and primary, but I'm going to do my best to give when I have an opportunity, to share when I can, and know that not even a glass of cold water, God promises, will not be rewarded with more. What a God we worship. One we can approach like a father. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me for a word of prayer? Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more precious than diamonds. And nothing I desire, nothing I've received as a gift compares to you. Amen.